Now, these things may seem unrelated, but just keep your eye on the screen. We'll come to the heart of the matter later on. A woodpecker making a living by digging up insects from the bark of a tree. And a penguin going for a cooling. And a queer fish and something. Oh, food. This is the famous archer fish of the Malay Ocean, Toxotes jaculatoi. And these are fish eggs that we are going to put under the microscope. And while we're putting them under, I'd like to remind you that the dog, the man, the woodpecker, the penguin, and the fish had one thing in common. They had a beating heart and a blood circulation system. Now we're going to put these fish eggs under the microscope and magnify them very much and see what we can see. And that's the first sign of life that we see in a hatching fish egg. It's the beating of the heart of the future fish. Now the fish has a very simple kind of heart compared to that in the human frame. In fact, it's something like a piece of rubber tubing that expands and contracts and expands over and over again. It's a pump. Now on its side, because the way it is in the fish, it looks like a bow tie there. And as it expands and contracts, it forces the blood forward to the gills, where it picks up oxygen, and the circulating system carries that oxygen to wherever it is needed in the fish, which means all over the fish, then back to the heart again to get more oxygen when it is pumped once again through the gills of the fish. That's a single chain circulation system with inlet valves and outlet valves in the pumping heart. Now, when we come to the reptiles, which is a slightly higher form of life, we find that the circulating system has become a little bit more complicated. That is, there are two loops in the circulating system. In one, the blood is pumped from the heart around the lungs, where it picks up the oxygen. And that's where you see that light fluid. From the lungs, back to the heart again, to get what you might call another booster shot to pump it around the rest of the animal. Now there you see that in this heart, the blood without oxygen on its way to the lungs and the blood with oxygen being pumped around the reptile are mixed at one point. But in the higher forms of life, there is a wall of tissue that grows down like that and separates one half of the heart completely from the other half. And that's the same heart that we have in the higher mammals and the human beings. Now, this is a diagram of the system of circulation of the blood in the human beings. You see, covered with, or filled with oxygen, I mean, it goes out to our extremities, to our hands, and to our feet, and to our heads, and to our skin all over. And as we absorb the oxygen, the blood flows back again through the veins to the lungs. That it is pumped from the right side of the heart into the lungs. Now here's the double system in operation. It goes out around our extremities back to the heart, from the heart around the lungs to pick up oxygen, and from the heart again out around the fringe of the system, so to speak. This is the human heart actually in operation here. It beats about 100,000 times a day. During which operation it pumps about 10,000 quarts of blood through the human system. That is about 20,000 pounds, that's 10 tons. So you can see that in a couple of days, the heart actually pushes enough weight around to fill a huge freight car. Now this is another close-up of the same system in operation the double circulation out around the human frame, back to the heart, then around the lungs, back to the heart, and out around again through the arterial system, the vein system being the return trip to the right side of the heart. Now, in the normal human being, there is an average pulse beat, which is the beat of the heart. But if we take on hard jobs, then we increase the pulsation of the heart, the beat per minute, and it all depends on how much strain we put on the heart as to how fast it will beat for us. Of course, it has a limit in beating fast, and it also has a low limit beyond which it would cease to beat at all. In which case, that would be the end of the individual. Now, there are some diseases that speed up the beating of the heart very much, and there are other diseases that slow down the pulse, the beating of the heart. The danger there, of course, is that it will slow it down to the stopping point. What we should avoid is putting an undue and sudden strain on the heart. Now, here's a man who was trying to catch a train. He's overweight a little, he's running upstairs carrying two heavy bags. That's bad. He put a very heavy strain on his heart. And of course, it isn't only a physical strain that may be dangerous. There may be also a mental strain or an emotional strain. And if the strain becomes too great, then that person becomes a victim of heart disease. This is an X-ray picture of the human torso. But we can do better than that with patients these days. We can put the patient between the source of X-rays and a fluoroscope, and we can actually see the human heart beating. And we can learn a great deal about it. We can see whether it's undersized or oversized, or whether it's swollen on one side or not. Doctors can tell a good deal by watching the heart in operation. Another way of checking on the heart is by what is known as an electrocardiograph. You know, each time the heart beats, it sends out an electric impulse, and the electrocardiograph is a delicate instrument for registering these impulses and putting them on a strip of film. Now, here is an electrocardiograph record of the beating of the patient's heart, and it looks to me like a very good heart. That's a healthy patient with a normal heartbeat. But this one below is a very fluttering heart, and the patient would be a very poor insurance risk. Of course, if we want to see how the heart increases its pace under the call of need for greater energy, we ask the patient to go through some exercises like this, and we watch how the heart responds to the demand for an increase in its pace. Of course, the heart is a muscle. In fact, it's a great deal more than that. It's a whole series of intricate crisscrossed muscles. And we know that by proper treatment and by training, we can develop our muscles so that we can do things that otherwise we couldn't do with them. We can put them under strains and stresses that would be very damaging if we had not developed them by training. Of course, all the training of athletes is pointed toward that end. And notice that before athletes do put themselves in the tremendous strain competition, they always warm up. So that's the point. We must do these things gradually and not put the heart to a strain to which it is unaccustomed. So remember this then. The human heart is run, in some cases, for as long as 100 years waiting for rest or repair. But not every heart is perfect, and even the strongest heart can be damaged and wrecked by undue strain. So take care of the only one you have, and your life goes with it. A good heart and a kind one.